Toledo, we're famous for Glass, Art Tatum, Tony Pacos, Jamie Farr, a world-class museum, the Toledo Mud Hens and Walleye, an outstanding zoo and public library system. But who are the people that make our city so great? Welcome to the Soul of the Glass City podcast. I'm your host, Monique. Today, I have such a special episode for you guys. This is something that means a lot to me, and I consider the people that are in the studio family, and I just want to say I'm so grateful that they made the time and the energy to come, because it is really deep that they are here, and I will explain why. I'll let them explain why, but I would like to introduce the Johnson family. I got Mama Johnson, Bobby Joe, and Landon Johnson, and they are here today to honor a very special man, and I'm going to let them tell you who that is. So everybody, starting from Mom, can you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Becky Johnson, Brandon Johnson's mama.
I'm Bobby Raftery. I am Brandon's oldest sister.
I'm Landon Johnson. I'm Brandon's oldest son.
Can one of you tell us who Brandon Johnson was and a little bit about him before I start asking questions?
I can say one thing. He was a bag of chips in our book, The Center of Our Life. It's changed our life forever. But we'll keep him alive, keep that memory and legacy of him alive until we're not here anymore.
Just a great person all around. I mean, a family man, someone who cared about his community deeply. He just loved his family, loved his, you know, job, his life. He just, you know, lived every day to the most that he could.
And Brandon, he was very well known in the community, both for a lot of his business dealings that he had. He owned a lot of different companies, as well as his charitable work, and also just his kind soul and the amount of friends that he made.
This question is for Bobby Joe. Brandon was known for his generosity and giving spirit. Can you share a specific moment or memory that highlights just how much he gave to others, both personally and through his businesses?
I would say, we were doing what he called the Christmas Miracle. He created that about 8 years ago. And so Brandon has always been a very giving person, but Christmas was especially meaningful to him. And kind of growing up in a household with limited means, especially as children, it was really important for him to make sure that kids had Christmas. And so once he created such a solid base of friends and colleagues, he kind of used that power to raise money and basically make sure that kids at the homeless shelter here in Toledo had Christmas every Christmas.
That's beautiful. Your father was deeply involved in charity work, especially during the holiday season. How did his Christmas gift-giving program and the trolley ride shape your own understanding of generosity and giving back to the community?
Yeah, I think what goes unseen is a lot of the stuff that he was doing, you know, besides the charity work. I just know growing up, there were so many different occasions where he'd help people out, lend money, you know, expect nothing in return. He just did so many different things, take, you know, employees on trips. Like, even with me, we'd go to, like, a Bengals game when I was younger. He'd bring his employees with us, take one of our buses. The charity work's just kind of the cherry on top of everything that, you know, everyone got to actually see. I still get stories today that I didn't even know of him helping people out. So it's just very heartwarming to know, you know, how giving my dad really was.
As his sister, what was it like watching Brandon grow up as a child? What did you think when he started his own trucking business as an 18-year-old and becoming such a successful entrepreneur when he had all those businesses and stuff?
Well, I know that we were living at home when he started his business, and started that, and he had bunk beds living at home and started with one truck that grew into 68 dump trucks in Northwest Ohio. And at his funeral, I kind of told a seashell story. And this was like the first memory that I have of his entrepreneurship. And he was probably 8 and I was probably 14. And we went to Florida for spring break. And I would get up in the morning with my grandpa and collect seashells and, you know, just to pass the time, I would paint and decorate them. And then one day Brandon was like, oh, we should sell those. And I'm like, you're not going to sell seashells. Like, that's embarrassing.
From the seashore.
And yeah. And so he got a little tray and he took them out there and he was like, you know, seashells, two for a dollar. And he sold the whole tray. And I was like, oh my God. And so then the next day we collected even more seashells. And basically, you know, when he would just pretty much even go to like teachers and say, hey, I will write your name of all your students on it for spring break that you can take back like as souvenir. So then we were selling in bulk, like 25 seashells at a time. So his entrepreneurial spirit like just started at a young age that he was never scared to sell anything. We always tease in our family like he could sell ice to an Eskimo.
What would you like to say, Mama Johnson?
It just brings back memories because he had such a confidence about him at that young age. I even said to my husband, my God, he can't go out there with that big old tray from the condo and sell. And after a day or two, my parents took them, Bobby Joe, all the other sibling cousins, and myself, we took all the kids into a little town that had souvenirs to buy psychedelic shirts that they wore together on the beach. And they had like $80, $90 in that. And Brandon just wouldn't stop. He'd go up and down there. One would wash, one would collect, one would paint, one would blow dry. But Brandon was always at the top of the list, bossing his sister around how many more we needed. And people were literally walking up and down the beach yelling up to the second floor of the condo how many more shells they wanted. So he got it way at an early age.
Landon, what do you know from your dad, how he used to prioritize you guys? You said he loved spending time with his family. What are some of the favorite memories of him being with you in your childhood, added to the ones you've already shared? And what do you carry with you from those times?
Yeah. The first thing I think of is just all the vacations we went on. You know, every year he made it a priority to spend family time. I know he was on the phone a lot, but he always made it possible. You know, we went to a lot of different places that a lot of kids aren't fortunate enough to, you know, go to. So, you know, as a 20-year-old kid now, I can say I've been to, you know, a lot more places than even a lot of grown adults have been. So I'm very thankful for that. And then just even, you know, it'd be a random day of the week, a Wednesday, and he'd take the whole family out for dinner or take us to the movies or go bowling. He just was always looking. He always wanted to do something fun every day and just put a smile on everybody's face. So I would say, you know, a combination of all those things.
So what was your most favorite vacation that you remember?
Definitely Hawaii. Surf. We got to surf for the first time and learning how to do that. And that beautiful water was definitely my favorite.
Bobby Joe, Brandon had a knack for always thinking about the next big idea. Can you tell us about a time when you saw him come up with a new project or initiative that surprised you? Other than, like, the seashell story.
Nothing ever actually surprised me. His ideas were always big and huge. He really just kind of had that persona that anything was possible. And I think that was, you know, one of the biggest things that we learned from him. And most of his ideas worked. I mean, we've owned, you know, 8 different companies over a period of time. Some were big, some were small. There's a few things that don't work out. I mean, any good, successful entrepreneur isn't in business without having some failures. But he loved Toledo, and he loved to bring things to Toledo. He did that with, you know, a lot of the unique limos that he purchased. And he bought this hot tub trailer and was going to do Mega Matchmaker, which is like a reality dating show for Toledo. And, you know, there was a lot of cost and a lot of specifics that were involved in those, but he just, you know, was always thinking big.
I know that some of the ideas probably didn't get off the ground, but most of them did. So he had a really good track record. Mama Johnson, what do you think was one of the craziest?
Well, as soon as she said that, the one thing, he was so bent on having the Mega Matchmaker. He just wouldn't let go of that idea. He wanted me on the dating panel. The hot tub trailer was another one, but those never really took off. But the time that they were, it was his season, was a lot of fun. Just the dream. I mean, he had production chairs with his wife's name on them. But some of the smaller, not the smaller things, but I just remember a lot. One in particular, we went on a cruise, all of us. we all get off, go to the beach, go to tubing or something fun. And I remember him getting off the ship, and we noticed there was a lot of senior citizens all by themselves right off the ship. So when we got back 8 hours later, he looked at those people, and he felt so bad. You could just see he was traumatized that they hadn't got up and left. And he goes, why didn't you guys go do anything? And he goes, oh, no, shots for all of them, and they were all senior citizens. And, you know, he just made those older people, they got behind him singing ole, ole all the way up the ship. That's just how he was. He couldn't stand it if somebody wasn't just having fun. And I think that's why he was so popular on the charity part of it. He just, I would see him sometimes. I would just lurk in the background, and you could just see him watching these people, whether it was open up presents or going on a trip. It was all about making them have something that we had. He enjoyed it only for himself. He just enjoyed watching the faces on those kids and the people, the adults.
I was fortunate enough to meet him 2 weeks before he passed away, and I met you first, and you said, you remind me so much of your son. And I'm like, what does your son do? And he's like, a lot of stuff, mm-hmm. like you. And then we find out that me and him have the same birthday.
Right.
So
I remember that,
that the energy, you felt it. And then I get to meet him, and he's everything that everybody says he was. And it's just like really amazing to even get to know him, and then to do the Christmas shopping with you guys, and how he fed everyone while they were packing gifts, and those kids, and how happy they were and everything. So, you know, I just feel really blessed that I did get to meet him. I do have another question for you, Landon. So everybody knows him, your dad, or knew your dad for his entrepreneurial spirit and having all these successful businesses. But how did that inspire you? Because now you also help run his business now. How, like, is that a lot? And how do you feel? And how does that inspire you?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot. I'm working full-time at the business now, and I'm full-time in college still. I'm all online right now, so my schedule's pretty busy. I get home from work at, like, 6 o'clock. I, you know, go straight to my laptop, start doing my exams, studying, whatever I need to do. But just as far as how he inspired me, it was just the way he lived every day. You know, he worked hard, but he also taught me, he said, work hard, play hard. So he wanted to put the time in to provide for his family, but he also wanted to enjoy every day. So I think he did that by the way he lived and how the way he treated others. And he always wanted, you know, everyone else to kind of follow that same motto.
I remember hearing that Brandon often helped out employees who were facing hardships. How did the balance of being a tough businessman with him being so generous and caring towards those around him, how did he balance that?
That was definitely a delicate balance. He was a very tough businessman. You know, he put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in 27 years of starting our company. And basically, you know, we were very protective over that. But he would also, you know, just give of himself and give of the company. So if somebody, an employee, was getting evicted or they didn't have a car to get to work, you know, he always did what he could. Just without thinking about it or how they were going to pay him back or what they were going to do. Like, if they needed help and he had the means to do so, he would help them. And even there's been more times than not, probably, that came back to not be a good choice from him, that, you know, you can help people and, you know, they didn't always appreciate it or whatever. But it really never stopped him from ever trying. Like, he didn't let that taint him like it would some people. Even myself, I'm like, why do you just keep doing this? And but you couldn't change his mind. He would always a second chance. He would always give somebody a second chance, and probably a second and third and fourth also.
I remember, Mama Johnson, that you said that he just was inspired by the struggles that you had as a mother when he was younger. What do you think about that? Like, how did you feel about that as a mom, you know, knowing that the things that you went through, that your son actually was, you know, inspired by it? And, like,
I think Brandon at a very young age took over the household of being the man of the house, and I think that's why it's so hard. And it's not just myself. The cousins all knew what he was, the fun one. Brandon and I had Brittany at a later age, so he just tended to Brittany. And not that she didn't get all of her basic needs, but I was struggling myself with a trucking company and pregnant with Brittany at an age. And Brittany just made it easy. And that was simple things like trying to find somebody that could fix the lawnmower or take Brittany to get her ears pierced. I think that's what makes this whole thing so difficult. He was our guy, you know, not just my son, but the siblings, the grandkids. At one point, we had some of the grandkids said, we want to live at Brandon Johnson's house. I mean, he was just fun. Even on a bad day, he never hung on to grudges. He just tried to fix everything. And for the most part, he did. And it's real hard to just lose that all of a sudden. We're just still trying to find our way. You know, everybody sees it as the business and the friends and the, but it was for us, it was personal. And that's why it's so difficult. I mean, we all work now, kids are graduating, but it'll never be the same without him. You know, right down to my little granddaughter, she just idolized him. And I think most of us at this table and most of the other siblings and kids, that's what Brandon was all about. He was just the fun one, and he built such confidence. We seen him change from a young 18-year-old that all of a sudden had a family of his own, and you could just see it when he was at the Walmart shopping. Such a confidence about himself. He didn't care if he didn't like his flashy jacket or not, that he just found his own way. And it's real hard to not have that anymore. And that's why I think we struggle so hard to keep that memory of him alive.
I read that Brandon often said, when I do good, other people do good. What do you think that he meant by this, and how do you see that philosophy continuing his business, Landon?
Yeah, we kind of always knew as siblings growing up when the business was doing good and when it wasn't. You know, for example, when the business was doing good, he'd be texting us, hey, after you get off school, I'm going to come home early. Let's have a poker night. I'll throw in $100 or $50 or whatever into the pot, and then we'll go out to eat or something after. Or, for example, you know, obviously taking all the employees on vacations and taking them, you know, NFL games and things of that nature. He always, if he was doing good, he made sure everyone else around him, you know, was compensated or having fun. You know, he didn't like to have fun by himself. He wanted everyone to enjoy things. So that was definitely what I would say about that.
What do you hope to carry on with his legacy?
Yeah. You know, our whole family's life turned upside down in a matter of minutes. It's kind of hard to, you know, describe exactly how it feels, but it's more so like I know what he dealt with growing up, so it makes me, you know, feel like, you know, if he did it, you know, I want to do it for him, be strong for my siblings. It's just kind of hard. Like, I feel so grateful for having him as long as I did. It's just a weird feeling going to, you know, my younger siblings' basketball games, football games, parents' night, senior night, and not having, you know, your dad there to support them as he did for you. So definitely that's been the most difficult. You know, the business and school has been hard, but it's just not having, you know, him there for my other siblings or having him there for advice, you know, with everything going on. So that was definitely the most difficult.
And I'm sure your strength is holding up your siblings, you know, because they're like, how old are they now?
Yeah, so my brother is 17. Then my other younger brother is 15.
Bobby Joe, I wanted to ask, what would you say is the most important lessons that Brandon taught you, either through his actions or his words, and what will you carry on with you moving forward?
Basically, making the most of every day and putting family first. You know, that's pretty much how we're all getting through things, is we're doing it as a team and we're doing it together. I will say, you know, what I want people to remember, what I guess I have learned, even though I've worked side by side with him my entire life and I know what he's about. You know, lots of people, he was very popular, so he was just like the mayor everywhere he went. And, you know, he just had such a huge following. So, I mean, he would go to a chamber meeting or a Destination Toledo or somewhere, and just like anywhere you went, people knew him. So, you know, he had just a larger-than-life persona. And, you know, when he passed away and we were getting out of the car to go out into the funeral home, there was, by the time we arrived early as family, there was already a line of people that was, out the door and around the corner. And pretty much people waited in line over an hour to pass through to give their condolences. And so I guess he always seemed to just want to be famous, you know. And so that was kind of his gig, you know. And it's like, you know, if he could have saw what we saw. And I'm like, people die every day that own businesses, you know, that own community businesses or, you know, family businesses or, you know, are good in the community. And it's like, wow, but if you got to see that and you got to see the impact that they didn't come because he owned a business or they didn't come because, you know, they rode a bus or because they worked for him in a dump truck. You know, that amount of people that come support your family came for much bigger reasons. And that was just the kind of person that he was and how he lived his life. And it was very apparent that, you know, at the end of the day, he was pretty famous because what he's going to be remembered for was something way beyond the business that we built.
Oh, God, it just brings that night back. I remember leaving the hospital, and even at the hospital, there was lines of people that must have got word. And that's before we knew that he didn't make it, just giving us our space. But I'm talking like 30, 40 people just out of the woodworks. One that just had a hip operation, come in a walker. I visualize that, and I remember some of those moments that they just ran to us at that time to help, because there was a lot of us to help pick up and hold these kids and ourselves. I mean, it was our whole immediate family. But just seeing the people, a lot of times, I remember that funeral home, and for the first time, people didn't even have the words. Best of our friends didn't have the words. They knew how close we were. And we still laugh today. We're like, he was all that in a bag of chips. That's what he used to say. Mm-hmm. We know he's all that in a bag of chips now. We knew it back then, but now he was. He was just so much a part of our life. We don't know how to still do this. You know, we function, but we function as a small, immediate family. And we know when somebody's down, and it happens daily, weekly. But we kind of know now who's not doing well, and we try to surround them. We'll have sleepovers. And that was another thing about Brandon. Bobby Joe always got the sleepover parties at her house, and her husband's sort of rough and gruff, and he's like, and you're not staying all dang weekend either. Because once Brandon got us all there, we didn't want to leave. We just, you know what I mean? And we did that same thing after Brandon's death. We lived together for somewhat weeks, months. You know, he was always one to have sleepovers and blow up beds and order pizza. But we found by doing that, and we've gotten together a lot since Brandon's death, because that's the only thing we know that helps. Seeing these kids, having the grandma there, having the cousins. Sometimes the cousins, when they were little, they would run around in a circle hugging each other, saying, never let go, never let go. And we still have that. We just don't have him in the center of it. Mm-hmm.
I know you guys do like an annual event to honor his memory. Bobby Joe, can you share that with us?
March is his birthday month. So it starts out like in the St. Patrick's Day lime green jacket he was wearing, and he was just it started from then all the way to the end of the month for his birthday. After his passing, or pretty much before the funeral was even planned, we created the Brandon Johnson Miracle Foundation, a nonprofit in his name that will help us carry on his Christmas miracle work. So you could find that on Facebook and our website, the Brandon Johnson Miracle Foundation. And we do have like free will donations for bracelets that we distribute. They have some of his mottos on them. One being a legend never dies, and then family first and make memories. So, you know, we're not as good at Brandon. He was one of those that would call up a business associate and say, hey, Christmas is coming. I'll be there in 5 minutes to pick up a check. Like, it was just not, you didn't ask. He just came, and I'm coming to pick it up, you know. And so we don't really have that kind of gift of, gab like he did, and so it takes us a little more effort to put things together, but we do plan on carrying out his every Christmas mission.
And hopefully the people that have been surrounding you guys with love, and the people that he supported, are still around supporting you guys. I know I am, and I will continue to do that for as long as I am able. Yeah. So thank you so much for you guys taking the time out of your day off of work for a second to come to the studio and be with us. We definitely love and appreciate you, and we definitely loved and appreciated Brandon.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm your host and producer, Monique. My executive producer is Chris Pfeiffer. Join me next time for another exciting episode of Soul of the Glass City podcast. For more information, if you have questions or comments, go to wgte.org/soul.
WGTE. Voices around us.